about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not all about the good things treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saves me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came so that we can be born again. It's about the soul that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great. It's the ending that can save you.
One time, repeat after me loudly. Praise the Lord. Ready? One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Well, we better get used to it, because one day in heaven, it's going to be a lot of praising around the Lord. And what a blessing to be able to come this morning and congregate ourselves together in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And while I'm on this subject of praising the Lord, I want to give just a brief announcement for the meeting tonight over at Eastwood Baptist Church. Please come. Please come be part of that. It's at 5 o'clock over in Marietta off Allgood Road. And I want to tell you what, we had choir practice over there yesterday. We had heavenly choir practice. It was amazing. It was amazing. We probably had 100, 150 in the choir, and there's supposed to be 30 to 40, if not more, joining in that choir tonight, not to mention four full churches present. It's going to be an amazing time. Of course, we are honoring Brother Alan Barrett, who has directed choir in all four churches, minus this church. We do have an Alan directing choir here, but nonetheless, he's going to be there. And they're actually going to try to get him to sing some verses in God Saves Old Sinners. And so, talking about the place coming unglued. So you just be there. Be there. Do yourself a favor and be there tonight. I can't endorse it enough. Be there. It really, those of us who were there yesterday, we're still stirred just off of practice. So be there tonight. And again, I just want to thank everybody for being here this morning and braving the frigid temperatures. It is definitely cold outside, and thank you for being here. I do want to mention some things this morning before we have our prayer time. No CLU this month today in light of the choir appointment this evening at 5 o'clock. And right quick, saying that, it might be best to be there at 4 o'clock to get a seat, because it may be standing room only, just so you know. Be there as early as you can. But no CLU this month today because of the choir appointment. And again, I'm just going to do this in reverse. I'm actually going to mention our reminders, what's coming up first, and then I'll do the prayer request since I'm already on this train of line of thinking. Please sign up for the chili fundraiser if you would. We need some more bowls and pots of chili. We need more chili cookers. And so please sign up if you would over here behind the organ. I don't know how many we have signed up right now. I think 3 or 4. So please do that if you would help out for this. Of course, this is raising funds for our technology upgrade. And the Lord blessed last week on that with someone giving a nice donation. And also during the course of this week, there was a couple more people inquiring and giving. And so thank you so very much. You know who you are. The Lord knows who you are. And that is wonderful that they did that. And so speaking of the chili fundraiser, that's going to be next Sunday night. And next Sunday night service will be downstairs. We'll have the devotion downstairs. And so everything will be downstairs for next Sunday night. And also, when you come to church on this Wednesday night, just be mindful that there will be work being done in the foyer. That starts on Monday. And so the repainting of the foyer there. So just be mindful of that. It's going to be like a, I don't know, like a little art studio. It's just going to be some things going on in that little foyer. So just remember that if you would. Also, make note on your calendars, February 10th. This will be on Saturday. I believe it's the second Saturday of next month. It's going to be our church-wide outreach at 10 o'clock. We'll meet at the church and pray and head out. And we'll let you know more details closer to that day. We'll say this. We had a mini church outreach this past Thursday and went out to the neighborhood and went to several houses, talked to several people, got great responses. It was just a wonderful day. And so thank you for your prayers on that. And we're going to do our best to have an outreach every month and reach as many people as we can, inviting the church, sharing the gospel to them as the Lord gives opportunity. And then it is double confirmed that Otis Nixon will be here that very next day on the 11th, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And so that is confirmed. He will be here. Most likely what we'll do that morning, we'll take up a love offering for him. And so if you would consider that for him coming to speak, this is his Christian ministry. He is a Christian. He mentions a little bit about baseball, a whole lot about God. And so remember that. We're going to do our best to see if he can sign a few autographs at the end. No promise on that, but I'm hoping that can be done as well. All right. Well, that's the announcements. Just continue to remember all of those on our prayer list. I know Brother Don Rich is waiting on results. Should have those on Wednesday-ish. Good to see Miss Glenda back with us this morning. I know she hadn't been feeling well, but do remember her friend's mother, her friend Loretta, her mom, going through a hard time. She passed away. Was that before Wednesday? On Wednesday. Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Please remember the Jackson family, friends, Miss Glenda. Remember our friend Ricky, who's battling cancer. Please remember him. Miss Carrie Bennett needs our prayers. There's some things she's going through physically. And so we're praying for Miss Carrie Bennett. Also, Miss Claudia needs our prayers. I guess she's at home this morning. Good to see Brother Larry back with us as he's still in recovery mode, but he is here. And It's so good to see him. LC is gone. LC is gone. He has moved to Chattanooga. Is that right? Yes. Pursuing a career and a marriage one day soon. And so we're proud of Brother LC, but he's gone for now. He's gone for now. And amen. Yes, sir. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. So just remember him also in your prayers. Please remember all the Wednesday night prayer requests. We don't take those lightly. Just remember those. If you weren't here, you didn't hear them, just say, Lord, we pray for the Wednesday night prayer requests. God knows what they are. Remember those who we did talk to on visitation. Continue to remember my grandfather and my dad. My grandfather did go home. I had a visit with him, as I shared Wednesday night. He's doing better, has a great attitude with what he's going through, but he is at home. He is getting ready for rehab, and we know that's altogether different. That can turn your attitude bad in no time because of the pain. But please remember him. I thank God for his good attitude. My dad, he's a little different, about the same, but a little I guess worse. I guess we could say, not eating, not drinking, sleeping a lot, not talking, and so he's just that's just the shape he's in right now. So please continue to remember him. All right, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship the Lord and see what He has for us today. And I know He wants to say something. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's hard sometimes to thank you for those things, but in those things, we give you thanks because it's the will of God. Today, Lord, we pray for all these requests. Lord, you know who needs what. We just lift them all up to you, God. You know, again, who needs what, who needs a touch physically, mentally, financially, maybe even in their marriage or their relationships with their children, God. We just pray that you would work in those situations. I thank you for my church family, that we all rally around one another when we're going through something, to lift one another up, to pray for one another. What a blessing that is. Oh God, I just pray today that you would meet with us in a mighty way. Lord, you're here, the same God that is meeting in other churches where people are getting saved and great things are happening is the same God that's here this morning. Help us just give you 1 hour. Help us watch and pray for 1 hour this morning. Lord, I pray that you would get the devil off of anybody's back or conscience or mind that may be hindering them from fully listening today and being involved in the service. We want, Lord, everyone here to be helped. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, for the Christian, I pray you'd encourage them. Maybe even someone following from a distance. I pray today that they will come back to the cross, Lord. We love you. We praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand. Choir, if you'll stand, join me. Turn over to page number 120. Let's all stand and sing this morning about the victory we have in Jesus. All right, everyone sing now.
I heard an old, old story, how a snake came from the tree, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood's atoning. Thank you.
see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And we're so thankful to be able to be here today. And I made it through a cold week. It's been quite frigid this week, but we're able to be here this morning, thankful for it. And so please be much in prayer for the service this morning. And be in prayer for the service this evening there at Eastwood. We're so excited about that. It's going to be such a great time. But I would encourage you to get there early to be able to get yourself a seat. And again, I imagine that the place will be just totally packed. And I can't see any way around that. But it's going to be a great time. No choir practice, of course, today. You'll be on the road when we would have choir practice and maybe already be there by then. So that would be what I encourage. So, but do make today a matter of prayer. Pray for Pastor this morning. Remember all the prayer requests that have been given. Well, look at the lineup I got down here to take up the offering. You guys look sharp, man. Exciting. That's exciting right there to get our young people involved. I'm thankful for that. But let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother Larry, it is great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Would you pray for us? just began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble. He's always aware of where I am and just what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come. Is all.
No worries, mate. Let me get in the spirit first. Now you know why we're getting a technology upgrade. Hey, amen. It's good to be here this morning. And anyway, there's always some kind of interference going on in the church, whether it's through technology, the devil, or self, something's going on. Anytime people are praising the Lord, preaching His Word, teaching His Word, so we're just going to focus on what lies ahead.
All right.
If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and make your way to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 3 is where we're going to be this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to do our best to develop some thoughts here in the next few moments. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the good singing. Thank You for Lord, our girls who had the courage enough to stand to sing. And so we appreciate their willingness, Lord, to do so. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments that You would just block our minds. And God, give me a clear head and a calm heart. Father, I pray that You'll take control, Holy Spirit, of me and my faculties, God. Everything that makes up the man so that I can deliver the message. I pray for the people. This morning, if there's someone here that doesn't know You personally, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. But for those who are saved that know You, I pray they will be encouraged, challenged, and changed by the time that we leave this morning. We love You and we do thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, 1 Samuel chapter number 3, I want to begin reading in verse number 1 and go down to verse number 8. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. I want to stop reading there in verse number 8. Again, that's reading 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 1 down through verse number 8 this morning. And here we have a young Samuel. We have a young Samuel who is serving in the temple. It's here in the temple. And at Samuel, being at his young age, where God speaks to him for the very first time. And as we just read, we see Samuel struggling with that, hearing God's voice, thinking it was Eli. Of course, in this story, in these verses we read, there's other notable things that take place as well. And so, with that as the backdrop, the background, and the verses we read this morning, I want to talk about, and this is my title, The Young Samuel. The Young Samuel. This is not necessarily a youth message this morning, as it is just describing his young age at this time. But saying that, there is youth application in this message, as there is application for everyone else. This, of course, is a character study. So we're looking into the life of Samuel, him being a young person. I want to give you three things this morning, if I could, from this account of the young Samuel, out of his life that can relate to us. And if we can accomplish those things, then I think it'll be time well spent this morning. I just want to mention some relatable things out of the life of young Samuel. Number one, I want to mention his character. His character. Now, Samuel had integrity when it comes to character. Even as a young person, he was a young person whose center core was that of integrity. He was a person of integrity. What does integrity actually mean? Integrity means the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. That was Samuel. That was this young Samuel. He had the quality of being honest. He had strong moral principles. He was morally upright. Now, we see his integrity. It's seen in his service to the Lord. I want you to notice in verse number 1 that Samuel was first and foremost a servant of the Lord. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. His integrity is seen in his service to the Lord. Again, the Lord was number 1. He was serving the Lord in the temple. Of course, this is what his mother Hannah prayed, that if God would give her a son, that she would give him back to the Lord for the service of the Lord. And so Samuel here is serving the Lord in the temple of God under the mentorship of Eli the priest, but also his sons were there serving in the temple as priests, Hophni and Phinehas. So this morning you may ask, what's wrong with that setting. And you may not find anything wrong with that setting. Young Samuel, he is living out his mother's prayer to the Lord, serving in the temple. He has a mentor, a couple sons of the mentor there. Everybody is happy. Everybody's serving the Lord. What's wrong with that? Well, let me just say this, that there was flaws in the Eli family. There were some flaws of character in the family of Eli. There was family flaws. And so I would even go a step further and dare to say that Eli was flawed. You say, Brother Justin, I never heard that Eli the priest was flawed. Well, you're about to hear it. He was flawed. Hophni and Phinehas was flawed, and I'll tell you why. Eli and his boys, Hophni and Phinehas, were chosen to be a priestly family in God's temple. Yet, while they were serving in the temple, Hophni and Phinehas committed great sin. What kind of sin was it that they committed? We're not going to go into great detail other than saying that they laid with the women that were in the sanctuary. This was something that they did. Look at chapter number 2 and verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This was the great sin that was in the church. This was what was taking place here. And so there was definitely flaws in the family. And I said again that Eli was flawed. You say, how was Eli flawed? Eli was flawed because he knew about it and did not do anything about it. If you go and you read verse number 13 of chapter number 3, the Bible says, the Lord speaking to Samuel to speak to Eli, he says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Eli had a flawed family. And you say, well, I began to see now this picture in the temple, how that this is a problem. And it was a problem. And so we see that in the midst of this problem, in the midst of this mentor being flawed, in the midst of his sons being flawed, we see that there was a man, a young boy by the name of Samuel, who had integrity. So in the midst of such circumstances, Samuel kept God first and did not allow this ungodly influence to influence him and allow him to be deviated from the path that he was on. And so we see his character. Young Samuel, he was a man who had center core integrity within his character. All these things were going on around him, yet he kept the Lord first. He stayed focused and he did not deviate. He was honest. He was a morally upright young man. Can I say this, young people, this morning? Don't let the influence of other young people with flawed character cause you to deviate or distract you from the pathway that you're walking on. They are out there. They're in the schools. And listen, everybody comes up with a different upbringing. And everybody has different parents. Everybody don't go to church. And everybody don't worship the Lord and love the Lord. And so our young people are definitely up against this great challenge of integrity. Young people, follow the Lord. Walk with Him. Be a person of integrity. And so don't allow these influencers that come along and try to influence in a negative way, distract you from serving the Lord. Middle-agers, older people, this applies to all of us. And you maintain your integrity by not allowing others to influence you in a negative way. This has everything to do with all of us. And it's applicable to all of us, not just young people. And so we see, though, as we stand back and take a look here, that there are certainly character crushers in the world. Again, they're found in the workplace. They're found in the school, but even in the church. That's where Hophni, Phinehas, and Eli was, in the church of God, being character crushers. And so we have a young Samuel who was in character, a person of integrity. Again, in verse number 1, chapter 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Keep serving God. Be a person of integrity. If everybody else is doing wrong, you do right. You do right. So this morning we see his character. But then I want you to notice, not only we see his character, but we see his calling. We see his calling. Samuel was 12 years old when God spoke to him. Most believe. And God spoke to him three times that night. And I want to look into these times that God spoke to Samuel. And I want to try to bring some things out of that I see that are applicable to us. And so we see that in verse number 4, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." He thought it was Eli. Verse number 6, he says it again. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. He thought it was Eli. And it was on that third time that Samuel thought it was Eli. And Eli said, the Bible says he perceived that the Lord had called him. And so what are some things that we can take out of these three times that the Lord was calling Samuel? Number one, Samuel had a readiness about him. He had a readiness. Verse number 5, and he ran unto Eli. He thought it was Eli calling him. Actually, it was God, but he had a readiness. He had a readiness about himself. Let us all have a readiness to serve the Lord. If God calls you to do something, and God is calling everybody to do something, at least be a witness, be a soul winner. Being out in the community, sharing the gospel, being ready in the marketplace, etc. Let us have a ready spirit this morning. Be ready. And so Samuel had a readiness about him. But not only that, in verse number 5, Samuel didn't recognize God's voice. He thought it was Eli. And so we see here that Samuel didn't recognize God's voice. And I wonder this morning if there's anybody in here who isn't familiar with the voice of God. And some may even say, "Well, Brother Justin, I hadn't heard God speak to me in a while, or God is just not speaking." I think God is speaking. I think God speaks every day. We mentioned last Sunday night that there's the revealed will of God in the Bible, and also, of course, when you're walking with the Lord and you're reading God's Word, you see His revealed will, but He speaks. God is continually speaking through His Word. Many people this morning, they doubt God's will and they doubt God's Word because they're not familiar with the voice of God. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. Get familiar with the voice of God. Get in God's Word. Get familiar with His promises and His principles. And so that when we go out into this world and we live our lives, we know what God is for and God is not for. And that is God speaking to us. So we see that Samuel didn't recognize God's voice. Not only that, but Eli didn't recognize God's voice. The first time Eli said, "I'm not calling you, go back to sleep." The second time Eli said, "I'm not calling you, go back to sleep." It took three times for Eli to conclude that maybe God was calling him. The takeaway from that is, let us older ones who's been in the faith a while be able to instruct the younger ones. Are you able to instruct the younger ones, older ones? Are you able to give counsel? Are you able to instruct in the scriptures? Eli didn't recognize God's voice. But on that third time, he thought, "Oh yeah, that could be the Lord speaking to you." And we know everything that was happening in the temple there with Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. And so that probably contributed to Eli not recognizing. So Eli didn't recognize God's voice. But something else within these three times God called, God spoke to Samuel about his purpose, not Eli. God could have spoke directly to Eli. Eli, you tell Samuel that I'm calling him to speak. He didn't do that. He called Samuel. And so Samuel was the one who was being spoken to by God. And I would say it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that God spoke to Eli and Eli spoke to Samuel about his calling, because callings are personal. Callings are personal. You can't call nobody to ministry. I can't call nobody to ministry. Only God can call somebody to ministry. Only God can call somebody to a certain place of service. The callings of God are personal. It's that personal call that drives us from within. It's during those dry times when nothing's going right and you don't see any fruit of your labor. It's that call of God that keeps driving you to labor. And so that's why God spoke to Samuel and not Eli first, because it was a personal call. Now, I will say that Samuel did go to Eli, and Eli did have a moment where he can instruct Samuel, but it took him three times. So Eli had a hand in it. But the callings of God are personal. God can speak to you. He don't have to speak to somebody else to let you know something. He can speak to you directly. And so we see that God spoke to Samuel about his purpose, not Eli. But also something else within these three calls. God gave Samuel three chances. You ever thought about that? Samuel. 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 The Lord gave Samuel three chances to answer the call. This morning, thank the Lord that God gives other chances concerning his purposes, his calls, and his will for our lives. Many times in life, there are times where we are ignorant of His will. Other times in life, we may fail at His will. We might even doubt Him at other times. But thank God He gives other chances concerning His purposes and His will. What a blessing. God gives other chances. And so we see that this morning. Not only that, but something else I see. God called Samuel during a dark time. This was a tumultuous transition from the days of the judges to the kings. The book before the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel is Judges. And the book after the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel is Kings. This is a transitional book. And we see that Samuel was Israel's last judge, and he was Israel's first prophet. And so these were dark days in Israel where the word of God was not going forth. Back in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Nobody was sharing God's word. There was no accountability in Israel. And so God reached down and raised up a young man by the name of Samuel. And Samuel had the call of God on his life. God said, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And he finally got it. God is speaking to me. He wants me to be a voice in these dark times. God has always had a voice during dark times. God has always had a voice. We are living in dark times. Everybody's doing what they want. Nobody wants to come to church anymore. And if they do, they just watch it on Facebook. Listen, thank you for watching on Facebook. But that is not a substitute for coming to the house of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is, but gather more and more and more is what that scripture says. Don't forsake it. Assemble yourselves. And so we're living in dark times. And listen, God is wanting to raise somebody up. that will go out into Powder Springs and say, "Thus saith the Lord." There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And so God is speaking to young people. Young person, will you be that voice? Will you be that voice this morning that says, "The Lord is the way, the truth, and the life"? Older person, will you be that voice? We're living in dark days, and the easy thing to do would just be kind of cowtail and tuck our tail between our legs and run off to the house. But that ain't what God is looking for. God wants someone to be His voice. And so we see this morning His call. We see His character, but then I want you to notice His courage. His courage. Verse number 13. We know that Eli said, "Son, God must be calling you." And so the Lord spoke to him and told Samuel, "This is what I want you to tell Eli." And oh, by the way, the message is to Eli, your mentor. Verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." There's nothing you can do about it. "And Samuel lay unto the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision." Has God ever put something in you to share with someone? And I mean, it's just uncomfortable on the inside. Many times coming behind the pulpit to preach God's word, sometimes we're carrying a word of challenge or a word of concern for people in the church. And sometimes it's a hard thing to get up and just rear back and preach that. So Samuel here, he is fearing what to, the message to share to Eli. Verse 16, "Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee?'" What did he say, Sammy? What was the message, Sam? "I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me, all of the things that he said unto thee." And here's what he says, verse 18. "God bless Samuel. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good.'" Samuel was obedient. And sometimes when God calls us to do something, it's scary. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. And let me just say this. Most of the time, when God calls us to do something, God guides us in a certain direction, it is always uncomfortable and it is always scary. Because if we felt like we could handle it, then God wouldn't get the glory for it. But God spoke to Samuel and he told Eli about it. Nothing was hid. Nothing at all. The complete message was shared with him. So we see that Samuel told Eli the things that God spoke to him. And sometimes when it comes to the purposes of God, it's not always an easy task. Many times, if not at all times, it's very difficult to accomplish God's will. In so much, it calls for a great act of courage. We see Samuel's courage here to approach the older man and to tell him what the Lord had said. Now we can get into a whole other message about the kind of attitude that Eli had. He took it. He knew he was guilty of it. He expressed humility, and he was willing to move on from the scene. But God is calling for acts of courage this morning. God is calling for acts of courage when we receive upsetting news. God is calling for acts of courage to be a witness for Him. Will you hand out a tract this week? Will you knock on a stranger's door? Will you tell somebody about Jesus at school, although you may be the only one in the school that's telling anybody about Jesus? Will you be that one? God is calling for acts of courage. God is calling for acts of courage when He closes one door and He opens another door. You know, that's a scary thing when God closes one door and He opens another door. It's scary at times. You want to know why? Because we get used to things. We get used to things. But God is calling for acts of courage. The three Hebrews were courageous in the fire. Daniel in the lion's den was courageous. Joseph in prison was courageous. Paul with the thorn was courageous. When God calls, He calls for acts of courage. What are you going to do with what God is speaking to you about this morning? What are you going to do with the area, the direction God has been moving you in the past several weeks? What are you going to do with that? Are you going to express great courage and be obedient and allow God to bless you for doing that? Or will you just crumble in paralyzing fear? Let us have a great act of courage and fulfill God's plan and His purposes. God is certainly calling for great acts of courage. And we see that Samuel expressed that here. He was courageous. He didn't hold back. This morning, in conclusion, what is God calling you to do? Number one, God is calling all men and women, boys and girls, everywhere to repent and be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know that you know when you die, heaven to be your home? God is calling a call of salvation. God is calling to service. He wants you to serve Him. God is always calling us to trust Him. And so the message, simply put this morning, will you answer the call? Will you answer the call this morning? Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. I pray, Lord, that something was said that would be a help to the people. God, that's our number one heart's desire. And so I'm sure if something was said, Your word shall not return void. And I thank You for that truth. We love You today, and we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll give a verse of invitation. If you need a